due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Oh, see? I just can't stand.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
It's about time you did something right.
Damn!
Yeah!
Acknowledge me!
Bitch! Shut up!
You get nothing!
Hey, go fuck yourself. Get that guy out of here.
You are dealing with the best in the world! Go fuck yourself!
Welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do not fool your ears. I am the captain now. I am Stat Boy Josh Henniger taking reins because everybody else decided not to show. Wait, Shane, you're here.
Yes, well, I think we've stolen the show.
yes, we have, because Nikki is off doing independent wrestling things, and Jason's off doing things, and everybody else who said we were going to be here is not. But we've got quite a bit, and yeah, I wish they were here. We've got quite a bit to talk about, because we didn't have just one pay-per-view. Oh, no, we had two, both on Saturday, and AEW did the right thing repeatedly on Saturday afternoon. Now, the only thing that was bad is that, Shane, you probably did not get to watch it because you would have been asleep at that point. About right.
I got to watch the highlights, and yes, they definitely made some right calls and some very good returns happened.
Yes. And honestly, we'll get around to that a little bit later on when we cover Dynamite. At least a little bit, for the first time in ages. Nikki, Jason, this means you. Because the first and the biggest thing that come out of All Out, Chris Statlander has won her first ever AEW Women's World Championship, pinning Toni Storm with the seatbelt pin. We'll get back to that on Wednesday, or for Dynamite.
Yeah, but to borrow a thing from The Rock, finally.
Yes, after almost 6 years, the 6-year anniversary is coming up in just a few weeks.
This woman deserved the rocket and the strap on her back ages ago. But the fact that it's taken her 6 years, I would say, is criminal at this point. But let's see how she goes with the run.
Yes, absolutely. And honestly, I hope it works out. Dynamite actually kind of showed she's not afraid. But we'll get there. We'll get there. Because the other big stories, during Adam Copeland and Christian Cage coming from the back to go out to their to wrestle, they ran into a hockey legend from Toronto. I forget who it is right off the top of my head. Let me see if I can look this one up real quick. No, I cannot. But the second person they run into, Bubbles from the Trailer Park Boys. That silence tells me you don't know who that is.
I'm not a big fan of Trailer Park Boys, so I don't really watch it. But the fact that they had a guy from Trailer Park Boys doing a segment with Christian and Cope makes me think that are they trying to say that Christian and Cope are trailer trash or something?
No.
I don't know. where are we going?
It isn't just that. It's also because Bubbles has an alter ego, a wrestling alter ego called the Green Bastard. That's
Green Bastard, okay.
Yeah, that's the reason why he was there. But ultimately, that was just a fun pop for the Toronto crowd, who absolutely deserved it. Because towards the end of the match, we got our first debut of the night. The debuting Beth Copeland. No longer allowed to be called Phoenix because that's WWE stuff, but hey, she winds up spearing the hell out of Stokely Hathaway. And then after the match, well, let's just say she kept trying to bring the fight to FTR. FTR eventually got the upper hand, beat up her husband, handcuffed him to the ropes, and then introduced Beth to a spike pile driver. And
yep. So AEW not afraid to show that their men are not afraid to put a hands on women.
Yeah, for better or for worse there. But yes, so yeah, inauspicious debut. It leads to a little bit more on Wednesday. I'll go ahead and say this now. Adam Copeland is going home for a bit, probably to make sure his neck doesn't become, you know, permanently broken. And in the guise of, you know, Beth getting hurt on Wednesday.
We've heard all the number threes making their predictions that this is Edge heading back to WWE, but sadly that's not the case. This is just a slow burn build for Cope to eventually come back and concerto one of the three with either Dax, Cash, or Stokely, either one. But yes, someone's copying a concerto for their troubles.
Bald Gun or Baldish or Bald again. But yeah, we also had the return of Eddie Kingston to wrestling after well over a year out with the ACL injury. Match, though, was just kind of from what I understand.
I want to just get into that for a little bit. Like, look, for those of you who were planning on watching this match and expecting it to be like a friggin' luchador match with lots of technicality and shit, that was not what this was going to be. This was just going to be two men brawling, and yes, Eddie Kingston came back and he wasn't in the best shape, but then again, that's Eddie Kingston's whole gimmick.
Yeah,
is that he's just an average guy who goes out there, loves wrestling, and loves to beat up people. That's Eddie Kingston's gimmick. He's not this guy that, if you're expecting Eddie Kingston to be out and come back looking like Triple H, then you're sadly mistaken.
Yeah. Just know I'm going to be talking about something that isn't in our notes. Mark Briscoe beating MJF in a TNT match. Tables intact. Bloody, bloody affair. But damned if it wasn't good. And 24 hours later, MJF winds up wrestling in CMLL, facing off against Mystico at the 92nd anniversary show for CMLL, where he winds up losing the title that he had.
Correct me here.
Sorry. It was the CMLL World Light Heavyweight Championship he lost.
Yeah, now correct me if I'm wrong here, because sure, I always get these two bloody mixed up. So Mystico, is that the original Sin Cara, or yes, is that Hunico?
That is the original Sin Cara. Things got weird for a while there in Mexico, but now Mystico has his name back. And from what I understand over the last, like, say, 5 to 10 years, ever since he left WWE, things have actually been on the up and up for him. He's still wrestling lights out.
Yeah, exactly. And this goes back to what we said originally. Like, Mystico's wrestling style is a Mexican wrestling style, so he couldn't adjust to American style. wrestling because they use opposite arms.
Yes.
So that's where he was getting all over the place. So yes, in Mexico, Mexico has 5-star matches easily. Yeah.
And he had a 5.5-star match with MJF.
Which is not surprising. Look, I give MJF, people give MJF crap for being Miz 2.0, but the man can wrestle.
Yes.
And he can tell a story. He is a true student of the game. I'll give him that.
Yes, he absolutely is. I don't like him as a character. He feels too one note. And thankfully he's going to be stepping back for a little bit so that he doesn't, or that he can go and celebrate his marriage to Alicia Tout. But thankfully, he...
I thought that's what the honeymoon was for. Hey-o!
What?
I thought that's what the honeymoon was for. Hey-ya! But anyways...
Yeah. But he will... He left us with a pair of really good matches to remember him for at least a little bit. Even though, yeah, he did not win either of them. Now, we do need to get back to Pac. Pac showed up again. Came out of a coffin to assault Darby Allin in the coffin match with Darby and Jon Moxley. I wish Mox were here so he could essentially, you know, brag about winning, but he didn't really win by himself.
I mean,
again with that.
You know what the sad part about Pac's return is, though? No one's talking about Pac himself actually returning. People are more talking about his haircut going, what is that?
Yeah, his haircut does not suit him. The long hair suited him really well. This short haircut makes him look like me. You don't want to look like me. Seriously. But the good news, once all is said and done, Haner did retain the belt. But we'll get back to a little bit more of that on Wednesdays for Dynamite. Because we got to get to the other Saturday show, WrestlePalooza. Indeed. I didn't get to watch too much of this, I'll be honest. Though I was glad that Lesnar was the opening match, but I was also royally disappointed that Lesnar was the opening match and not, you know, not on the card. And he pretty much just Cena like a bug.
Your disdain for Lesnar is very well documented and known. We knew, like, we had a feeling that this was going to be the opening match, just due to the fact that Cena's got some movie premieres and stuff coming up. So he obviously had to go. He had to bail early for filming and stuff like that.
Filming or whatever it is. I don't even know what he's currently got on his plate.
He's got the Peacemaker premieres and stuff that have been getting done, and the finale's just been done, so he's probably doing press tours for that and everything like that.
It's a little bit of that and a little bit of two other films that he's going to be making here. One coming out next year and one coming out sooner or later. One for Apple TV called Matchbox, starring John with Jessica Biel and Sam Richardson. Sam Richardson was on Veep. Just looking through here real quick on his Wikipedia. He was part of Veep for ages. Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. Amongst a whole lot of others. And then Little Brother, which will be coming out sooner or later. Starring John Cena, Eric Andre.
Sam Richardson. Yes. I'm just trying.
Huh?
Yeah. Better known for, like, Ted Lasso. Mike and Dave Wedding Dates fan. He played the brother-in-law.
Okay, which was funny as hell. Guard for half a second. The other movie that he's going to be coming out or making right now is called Little Brother. It stars, of course, Cena, Eric Andre, Michelle Monaghan, Christopher Maloney, who you know as Detective Stabler from Law & Order, Help, He Touched Me Inappropriately Division, and Ego Nodim, Woodim, who is from Saturday Night Live. So yeah, John is busy, so yeah, getting him in, getting him out, getting him on was the right move. It's just, Lesnar winning still feels like the wrong move.
It was going to, realistically, this was going to be a lose-lose situation, regardless. Yeah. Cena beats Lesnar, whoop-dee-doo, Lesnar's off in the sunset.
Yep, but now...
Lesnar dominates Cena, but if he doesn't show up the following Monday on Raw or SmackDown, people are like, what's the point?
Yep, and that's exactly what happened this week, because Cena and Lesnar both were not on, and Cena resorted to Twitter, or X, or whatever the fuck, to push the next match, which won't be until Crown Jewel in Perth.
Crown Jewel in Perth, yes.
Which we'll get to. Let's see now what else. Stephanie Vaquer has won the whatever brand it is, Women's Championship. I think it's Raw. Has to be, because the other one was, or we'll get to SmackDown eventually, and that was ugly.
Yeah.
The Vision beat the Usos, and the Vision has an actual name now, instead of it just being the Bronze, like I used to call them. However, one of the Usos decided to introduce himself to a chair.
Yes, unfortunately, Jay copped the old chair to the face by hitting it off Reed's back and... Breaker's back. Breaker's back, and it smacked him right in the head, and he busted himself open clean.
Not the first time, or not the last time, we'll be talking about somebody getting busted open. The hard way. Let's see now what else. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. There we are. Never mind. Yep. Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch lose to returning AJ Lee and CM Punk. I'm not terribly surprised. I called that one completely incorrectly. Oopsie doodle.
I had the correct situation, but I don't know if, like, because I said that Becky would fall to AJ, but I didn't say she would submit to her, but same situation. Same.
And here's me caring. Nope. And then, of course, in the main event, Cody Rhodes beat Drew McIntyre, and that doesn't surprise me, and that leads to McIntyre being in a boot for SmackDown, but we'll get there in more than one way.
Yeah, I know. But look, this, and this is no offense to Cody, wrong decision.
However, because of other things that are happening with Drew McIntyre, it's the right decision.
Depending on, especially after what we saw on SmackDown this past week, it might be a WORK.
It is, but we'll get there. As for our results, Jason finished dead last with 3 points. I finished just ahead of him. My flush mattered. 3.5, though. Shane.
That was with a flush.
Yeah, 3 and the fuck you, Lesnar. Shane, you finished 2nd with 5 points. Our winner and new NAWC Fizzleweight Champion of the World with 6 points is Nikki Hayman. Ba ba ba.
I bet you any money that's why. She really went to the independents, because she's like, the champion does not need to be at the show. She's checking my full Roman Reigns on us.
Yeah. I mean, that might also be why Jason's not here, because he's sulking, but... Yeah. Now it's time for us
Jason's
to go...
Fucking us. What? Jason's chucking an Austin on us. He's taking his ball and going home.
At least for now. Hopefully he'll be back next week. Now we quickly talk about Raw, because most of Raw was just a, hey, this is what happened at Crown... Or at...
WrestlePalooza.
WrestlePalooza. Yep. Now we find out what happens going to Crown Jewel in Perth. Looks like we're going to have a tag match with the Kabuki Warriors facing off against Io Sky and Rhea Ripley.
And yeah, because that was the big highlight of Raw. Asuka turned heel.
I mean, she was already pretty much there.
Yeah, she was already there, but this signified it, because she not only missed Rhea, but she also turned on Io as well.
Yep. And now it's likely to set up a tag match at Crown Jewel, which I'm okay with.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes wind up meeting up for the first time, because it is that Crown Jewel title that they're going to be winding up facing off against for Crown Jewel.
Look, and I
go ahead. What were you saying, Shane?
Sorry about that. The thing I love about Seth and Cody, when these two work together, they produce magic. Like, not only with their wrestling, but with their promos, and this was another good one.
Yes.
Especially with Seth coming out, and he's wearing a watch, which we never see Seth wearing a watch, and everyone's like, what the hell's going on here? And then you see the significance of the watch when because Cody's been bringing up this goddamn watch on his podcast with Becky Lynch and that for months. Mm-hmm. Going, did he get the watch that I gave him at WrestleMania 40? Like, I've never seen him wear it.
Yeah.
And Seth goes, you keep mentioning this.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is what you're worried about, then you're worried about the wrong things.
Well, the thing Cody doesn't have to worry too much, because Rhodes versus Rollins, they have faced each other 22 times. Do you want to surmise what the current record is for Cody winning over Seth?
It's like a Undertaker streak here, and it's 22-0. I don't know.
Yes, 22-0.
Okay, but that's the thing. Can we really count the house shows? I mean,
no. Like, this is actually televised in pay-per-view.
Televised throughout the year.
The years, yes, televised throughout the years, whether it be on USA, Sci-Fi, if they did it there.
I don't know why Cody's going off this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why Cody's going off of just the three then. Like, that. I suppose you don't want to make. You don't want to make Seth Rollins look weak.
Yeah.
At this point. But I think. Just signifying, you and me have faced each other in singles actions three times. How many times have I beaten you? Three times. How many of them have you won? I think it would have been a lot better bringing up their whole history in the times that you and I have faced each other, because this is like a Rock and Austin situation.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have faced each other this many times. How many times have you actually beaten me?
Yes.
So it's like, for Seth, Cody is just that gnat that he can't get off his back.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, there wasn't too much else of major note.
Just Bayley continuing her brilliant work with this multiple split personality stuff. Because Lyra was going, oh yes, it's so great you and I are friends again and everything like that. Bayley gave her a hug and everything, and then after Bayley, and this is where people need to start watching the matches.
Yes, it is.
Watch the matches and see where the turns happen. Because she won last week with the Bayley the Belly. This week, she won with the Rose Plant. And then directly after the match, she shoves Lyra down. So this is where you see the split personalities.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's pretty much everything for Raw. NXT, it was just mostly set up for the pay-per-view that's going on right now. That, of course, being NXT No Mercy. Which we don't... I don't think we have the main event finalized yet, but currently, let's go ahead and just cover it real quick. Live research, everybody. Javon Evans beat Josh Briggs by pinfall. Just to note, Javon Evans will be showing up to,
Javon Evans will be facing the TNA
X
Division champion Leon Slater at Bound for Glory.
Thank you. My brain just went ka-clunk. Sol Ruka beat Jada Parker for the Speed Champion, or to retain the Speed Championship. Jordan Grace beat...
Wrong decision.
Yeah, it's the Speed Championship. 5 minutes. Yeah. Jordan Grace beat Blake Monroe in a weaponized steel cage match. That was pretty gnarly from what I've seen. Ethan Page beat Tavion Heights for the North American, or to retain the North American Championship. JC Jane beat Lola Vice to retain the NXT Women's Championship. And the main event has yet to finish. Oba Femi facing off against Ricky Saints. So yeah, you have all that. There wasn't too much. Dynamite.
Oh, hang on. Can we talk? I want to talk about one funny thing from NXT.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So... I don't know if anyone caught it. But WWE apparently caught it, and they had to cut it from highlights. So when the whole TNA NXT invasion thing, NXT versus TNA invasion thing was happening, you saw the segment on the outside with Ricky Saints and Oba Femi. Ricky Saints humped the podium. I wish I was making this up. He fandangoed the hell out of this podium.
Nice.
and I caught it. I'm like, did he really just do that? I was like Booker T in this moment, ladies and gentlemen. I was like, tell me I didn't just see that.
Yeah.
And apparently I wasn't the only one that caught it. WWE caught it, and then they cut it from their highlights.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
And also, just to note, during the NXT takeover, or TNA takeover, it was the first appearance of Matt Cardona in a WWE program in years.
Not just him. Like they focused on all the ex WWE people were at the front. You had Cardona, you had Xia Li, you had the Iconics.
Yep.
All of them were up the front. I'm like, damn.
Yeah. So yeah, Chaos. It's the master plan. But we'll probably see more of that coming on October 7th. That will be not this coming Tuesday, but the Tuesday after. They will have a joint event called Invasion, which will have two Survivor Series style elimination matches, one for the men, one for the women. And then for the only other match that has been announced, the Hardy Boys face off against the Dark State with both the NXT and TNA tag team titles on the line. Everyone else is banned from ringside, and there must be a winner.
Yeah, no, okay. So, when's Bound for Glory?
Bound for Glory, Hell Bent for Leather. Sorry, I've made that joke for almost 20 years now. Bound for Glory is the following Sunday, October 12th.
Okay, here's my issue with this.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my issue with this. This is why I find it fucking stupid. You've got the Hardys versus the Dudleys.
Yes.
And it's been being promoted, Hardys versus Dudleys for the TNA World Tag Team Championships. In their ladder match.
Yes.
So
tables match, but yes.
In the tables match. It'll be TLC. It's going to be Full Metal Mayhem, whatever the hell. So with that, it's a matter of, okay, you've already promoted this match, but now you're doing this match for where it's going to be winner takes all between Dark State and the Hardys.
Yeah.
So we're even going to get a kerfuffle finish where there's going to be no winners and then the two teams just separate. Or Hardys are already the winners, and then at Bound for Glory, it's going to be winner takes all with the titles, making to further promote the get more eyes on TNA, which I can see from a business standpoint. But then, what happens after either team wins? Do the NXT championships get vacated back to NXT? It's like. Or the Dudley Boys, if they win, going to go on a final run. Like,
it wouldn't surprise me one way or the other. I thought originally when, you know, the Hardys announced that they were going to do this match, that it was all for men's retirement, so to speak. So my bet is that Dark State's winning, and it's not going to be for either title. It's going to be
that would make the tables match. That would make more sense to me, and actually, that would be a perfect thing to do, because that way, then two members of Dark State have the NXT titles, two members of Dark State have the TNA tag titles, and both titles can get defended on a regular occasion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yes, let's go over quickly to Dynamite. Because we had another return from injury in Orange Cassidy, who was originally announced more or less during the pay-per-view, saying, hey, he'll be back Wednesday. And he was. Oh, he was. And that feels very good.
Yeah, but not going after Death Riders, because I'm pretty sure Death Riders, Moxley was the one that took out Cassidy, or
yeah,
from memory, I can't really recall.
That sounds about but right, but
yeah. He didn't go after Moxley, he went after the Don Callis family.
Yes, because it's he like, just doesn't care. He never has. So that makes sense, that he didn't care. So they ultimately did wind up winning, but Hechicero being the weak link of the trio in the Don Callis family, because it's Okada, Takeshita, and Hechicero, yeah. Let's see now, what else? Oh yeah! Chris Statlander shows up, the Death Riders surround her, going, are you gonna join us, or are you gonna not? Wheeler Yuta gets essentially smashed for his own troubles, and then
she flips the bird.
Yep. Ducks underneath. Marina Shafir gives Mox the double bird and hightails it out of the ring.
Her and Kali Cameron. Yep.
Yep. That they are going to wind up staying together.
And yeah,
Statlander stays face, which I'm okay with.
I'm okay with Statlander staying face, especially with this new partnership between her and Harley Cameron, because this looks like it's going to be another good duo.
Yes.
But, yeah, exactly, if it's done correctly. Yeah. but so far they've done well with it. Like, I like that Cameron's doing, like, the introductions for her, like, she admires her and everything like that. Sort of reminds me of how they set up Tony and Munro, Mariah May, back when they were originally got together.
Mm-hmm.
So wait and see how that goes. But the one return that people were pissed did not happen, especially considering where they were, because they were in, I believe they were in Anaheim, California, weren't they?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so one person that they were pissed did not return. No,
they were not. They were in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Well, still one return that they were not happy did not happen, especially seeing as it's been ages since she's been on TV, is Britt Baker DMD. So people are wondering, is she out the door, especially with what Tony said, what was it, a couple of months ago, saying, oh, no, Britt's still with the company. She's just, waiting in the wings. I'm like, well, now's the time to bring her back.
Yeah. However, I don't know if they're going to bring them all back at once. You know, just kind of feed it out, because they just returned a whole lot of people. Do they need to return more right now? That's the only thing. But yeah.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Some things we didn't mention during the pay-per-view. Killswitch is back, and he's back with Jack Perry.
Oh, yeah, well, look, that's fine. Like, hooray, Jurassic Express are back together. Like, it's fine, but it's just one of those things of, realistically, you had nothing for both guys, so you've reformed the tag team.
Yeah.
Like, I would have been more excited about Jurassic Express getting back together.
Mm-hmm.
If like it had been like I reckon this could have been slow burned a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, you had Killswitch come out, Killswitch slowly starting going back to Luchasaurus and being like, you know what, I'm so done with Killswitch and everything. But you rushed the hell out of it. You brought back Jack Perry. Then you've had Killswitch just go, oh, yep, there you go, I'll take the belt off. Bam. And then, wow, American Express is, Jurassic Express is back up and running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, some other stuff. Darby Allin chases the Death Riders away with a flamethrower.
Did I call it though?
Yeah.
I called it. I said last Wednesday when Mox got burnt alive in a friggin' in a bag. It's like, oh, don't worry, he'll be back next week. And sure enough, there he was.
Yep.
No burn marks, no nothing, and he's getting teased with a flamethrower. Like,
yep, which they announced pretty much what will be nearly, or just about the main event, but not quite. Darby Allin, Jon Moxley, Wrestle Dream, I Quit.
Yeah, and Mox no-sold the shit out of the flamethrower, too. He's just looking at it like, huh? Like, I'm sorry, if I'm someone who's just been burnt in a bag, like, I'm showing some sort of fear going, this guy's a freaking psycho.
Yeah. Yes, he is. So, yeah, that's pretty much everything with Dynamite that I'd want to cover. SmackDown, the only thing that I really know of, or the only things that I want to cover, the triple threat match. which was just straight up messy from all four people in that ring, the referee, and all the wrestlers. Yeesh.
I don't know in with that one. Nia Jax once again. I can't remember if she threw a punch or did something, but she busted Jade open the hard way.
If I remember right, she threw her into steel steps, and
I threw her into the steel steps, and she's
yeah, and ultimately just busted her open right in her eyebrow.
Yeah, right in her eyebrow, cutting. Jade showed the photo afterwards. She had a huge gash above her eyebrow, so
yeah,
that's gonna be a stitch job.
Yikes.
But yeah, the pin botch. I don't know. I honestly think that was a Nia situation because
It was a Nia situation. It was either Nia or Jade because one of them were supposed to pull the ref out of the ring, and they did not do so. So yeah, that was ugly.
Oh, well, fair enough. But if we're going off that bit of events, then so yeah, if Jade's had her face busted open, which was not supposed to happen, she's on the floor getting medical attention done. Yeah. Then they've done the other pin directly after. Jade's not paying attention. She's not pulling the referee out of the ring.
Yep.
And Nia's like, oh, well, Jade's going to pin this. Like, this is where audibles have to be done, people.
Yes.
Like, if you see the ref's hand coming down for that three count and you don't see her moving an inch, like she's getting pulled out, then you raise your damn arm up and be like, three.
And this, once again, has shown Jade's inexperience, Nia's incompetence, and Tiffany does not do well against lesser opponents. Seriously.
Yeah, okay. Like you said, it was a calamity of errors here. Because Nia's thrown Jade into the steel steps, and then Jade's face has caught either the edge of the step or just hit the step in general, and her eyebrows busted open. Nia is the most experienced person in that fucking ring. This is where leadership does come into it.
Yeah.
Nia's got to be the person talking to the fucking referee, going, fucking, we're doing this, this, and this, and then friggin', like, just tell me what's next. If she sees that she's busted Jade open, then she goes to the referee, okay, audible, while Jade's getting checked on out there, Tiffany's going to pin me, I'm going to kick out at two, and then we're going to go home for the finish.
Yeah. Ultimately,
but
though,
that didn't
happen because Nia.
Oh, no, it did. No, it did happen. You can see Nia
after,
talking to the referee
right.
directly. Yeah. You can see her talking directly after she hit the three, going, where the fuck's Jade? Mm-hmm. Like, going, and then she's going, okay, we just got to take this. We got to take this home. So it's just an unfortunate calamity of errors that happened all around, but it's ones that could have been prevented had people been talking.
Yep. And of course, Nia is not a match leader. She might be a great person behind the scenes, but in front of them, no. Just no. And then the other thing that we found out this week, AJ Styles is retiring next year. I originally thought it was going to be March of 2027 or sometime shortly thereafter. But I think AJ seen Saudi Mania and was like, nope, I'm done.
Yep, we have breaking news too.
Oh?
At NXT No Mercy, we have a new NXT World Champion. Oh. Ricky Saints beat Oba Femi.
Wow. Nice. That means Oba is probably going up to the main roster before too much longer.
Don't be surprised if Oba Femi is Cena's last opponent. Be surprised.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me too much, but also wouldn't surprise me if Oba Femi shows up as a debut in the Rumble. But we're still a little ahead of that. Now it's time. We've went through all the weekly shows. Now it's time to talk about something that got, or a nice list that got released this week. The PWI 500. Which is Pro Wrestling Illustrated's yearly, talent sorting criterion that determines, hey, who's the best wrestler on the planet right now? And who did they give it to this year? For back-to-back years, it went to Cody Rhodes again. Cody is in rare company. One of only four wrestlers ever to get back-to-back PWI 500 number ones.
But damn, good on Oba Femi. Oba Femi made the top 15. Like, that's... Yeah.
Finishing down at number 14, let me go ahead and run through, say, the top 15. Because you have Cody at number 1, Mox at number 2, Gunter at 3, The Hanger, Hangman Adam Page at 4, New Japan's Hiroki Goto at 5, Jey Uso at 6, Swerve Strickland at 7, Seth Rollins at 8, Mystico at 9, Will Ospreay at 10, Okada at 11, Joe Hendry at 12, which is a bit of a surprise, Zack Sabre Jr. at 13, Oba Femi, as you mentioned, at 14, and Punk at 15. There's a few there that I don't agree with being as high as they are, and some that I feel are a little too low. For example, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I agree. Damian Priest was actually a surprising one for me, being in the top 20. I was like, wow, okay. Jacob Fatu at 20, like, okay, I can get that, but he's been around for a cup of coffee and he. He's only had a few matches. Oh yeah, which is fair, but like majority of, like a part of the aptitude of these ones is win loss record, championships won, quality of competition, major feuds, prominence within a wrestler's promotion. This is not a knock on Solo Sikoa, but I don't count Solo Sikoa as a major fucking feud. I'm sorry, yeah. I don't.
The main thing is Jacob Fatu has barely lost. He's wrestled at least 10 matches. He held the U.S. title. I am not surprised that he is... Oh, yeah, and we did forget to mention for SmackDown because of Jacob. Jacob Fatu put Drew McIntyre on a shelf for a little bit. And for good reason.
Yes, because... Yeah, I was about to say, because he wants, because Drew's going to explore his own freedom.
Yep, he will find out that there can be only one, and he's going to get his head lopped off. Because he will be in the upcoming version of Highlander as the brother of Angus McLeod, which is going to be played by Henry Cavill.
Which is pretty cool.
Yes, yes it is. So I'm assuming Drew is headed off for a little bit to go film it. Let's see now what... But yes, the top 15, my personal opinion, Hiroki Goto and Jey Uso are just a bit too high. Goto should be down a few. Zack Sabre Jr. should be up a few because both of them held the same belt, but in my opinion, Zack Sabre Jr. is the better wrestler overall. Jey Uso, on the other hand, shouldn't be top 10. He should be about 11 or 12. And Mystico, about number 10, and Mystico should be actually up nearer the top 5.
Yeah, well, I don't know. With win-loss records, Jey Uso's win-loss record is pretty good. More wins than losses. Championships, he held the World Heavyweight Championship twice and had lengthy runs with them.
Yeah.
And then the quality of competition, he's faced Gunther, Roman Reigns, Cena, the list goes on. He's had major feuds, his prominence within the promotion. I mean, watch Raw week after week, need I say more?
Yeah, he's got, essentially, Jey Uso is for the kids.
He's top 10 energy.
Yes, absolutely. Let's go ahead and start going through the rest of this list, just kind of picking off people. LA Knight's 22. The top woman is, unfortunately, somebody who's been in the news this week pretty darn badly, Masha Slamovic.
It's funny that you bring this up though, with that she's the first woman presented, yes. Especially due to the fact that Becky's been listed prior to this list coming out as being the number one women's wrestler of all time, but yet she's not in the top 10 of PWI wrestlers all out.
That's because they consider this a men's list. Masha Slamovic has won men's titles. Becky hasn't.
Oh, true, yeah.
Becky barely has wrestled men at all, and they stay relatively separate. Let me take a look here. I'm trying to see here. She held the Knockouts Women's World Knockouts World Championship for a while this year, but she has also wrestled quite a bit against men.
Yeah, which is fair enough. With the story that you're bringing up, there's not much else we can really say about it. The woman come out and said that, yes, her and her now ex-partner were in a very toxic relationship with each other. Both of them were apparently violent towards the other.
Akira just wants to move on.
I think they both just want to move on. So
yeah, the thing is, though, Akira hopefully is getting the help he needs, because from what I've understood, Akira was the abused more than the abuser. Masha was an abuser.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's up to TNA to decide. Yeah. So, whoever she's facing at Bound for Glory, we're gonna see if she gets punished for the situation and if she loses her belt at Bound for Glory.
Yep. Or if she loses it sooner. Speaking of, we didn't mention Ash by Elegance, the former Dana Brooke, has, unfortunately, looks like she's might be long-term retired from wrestling.
We don't know why. People are speculating that she might have gotten a major injury. During the pay per view or during the Wednesday.
Yeah. I don't know right now. Hopefully that information will come out, but who knows? Who knows? But let's see now. Let's continue on with the list. MJF is down at 30. Ouch. Randy Orton's at 32. Kyle Fletcher's at 33. Let's see now. Ricochet's at 41. 47 is Javon Evans, who showed up on SmackDown this week to face off against Sami Zayn for the U.S. title in a losing effort. But hey, he did all right. He did all right. Jericho.
Yeah, I was I'm more surprised with how low Dom is. Like, I'm glad he's in the top 50, but
yes.
Like, he's had a long, lengthy run with the Intercontinental Championship. He's faced off against some top-notch opponents, and he's also now the mega champion. So,
yeah,
depending on when this list is finalized,
you've got to remember what time frame was this all in? This was the time frame from August to July. So if you won the Mega Championship after August 1st, which I think he did, it don't count for this year. It'll count for next.
Yeah.
But let's continue on here. Let's see now. Chris Jericho's down at 54. Cruel, which you probably haven't heard of, but he's a major player in the independents, currently the Major League Wrestling World Champion, down at 58. Nakamura's at 63. Jack Perry at 65. Al Rivers, or Roberto Del Rio, Al Patron, is at 66. Ricky Saints is at 73. He's going to go up this year. Matt Cardona's at 75. Nick Wayne at 78. Darby Allin's at 83. Solo is at 89, as you mentioned him earlier. Joey Janela's at 98. Allie Catch at 96. Hologram at 106. Let's see now. Psycho Mike, major Canadian independent wrestler and former Mystery Wrestling Champion at 122, Claudio Castagnoli at 125, Wheeler Yuta at 128, Max the Impaler at 130, Sheamus at 136, Great O'Connor at 137, Shelton Benjamin at 149, AJ Francis, the former Top Doll, at 157, Minoru Suzuki at 163. I'm going to go ahead and start flying a little bit faster here. R-Truth at 198. PCO is still going at 212. Eddie Edwards at 227. Yoshiki Inamura, who has been in NXT for a while, at 236. Let's see now. Evil at 255. Deserved, considering he's kind of worthless as a wrestler. Jack Cartwheel and his cartwheels aplenty at 266. Sammy Callahan, now retired, but last run at 268. Let's see now. Jake Crist at 285. Dave Crist in hell. KJ Orso, who you better know as Fuego del Sol, at 288. Evil Uno at 297. Danhausen down at 312. Maki Ito at 314. Miyu Mashita at 323. Cody Deaner / the Hometown Man, which he's in TNA now a lot, again, 329. Michael Allen Richard Clark, one of the funnier names on this list, at 340. You know what that stands for, right, Shane?
Sorry, what was that one?
Michael Allen Richard Clark.
Allen. Yeah, Allen Dick Clark, yep.
No, the initials. M-A-R-C. He's a Mark.
Oh, God.
Yeah, a bit on the nose, isn't it? Brian Keith at 358, Hoodfoot at 360, who he's a well-known hardcore wrestler in the Detroit area. One of my friends from college and beyond actually knows him pretty well now. Billy Starks at 385. Real One, aka Enzo Amore, at 396. Charles Crowley at 405. Beef at 413. He's an ROH mainstay. Very fun to chant his name during his matches, I must admit. Madman Pondo at 433. Anthony Green at 442. Barbario Cavernario at 443. Dr. Redacted, another hardcore wrestler from the Detroit area, at 446. Let's see now. Cole Radrick at 467. Another one from the Detroit area. Let's see now. Cheeseburger at 475. Well-known comedy wrestler. Danshoku Dano, who's... facing off with Evil Uno, or in a tag match with Evil Uno today at 486. Satnam Singh at 493. And number 500 this year is a guy by the name of Serial Man. That silence, it probably speaks volumes. This guy is a wrestler for Hood Slam. Not a terrible surprise, considering he's the gimmick. And he's just, yeah.
I think Serial Man and Kurt Angle would have made a great tag team.
Yeah, I mean, Hood Slam could do anything they want. But ultimately... that is the PWI 500 for this year. And honestly, I think we've got through everything, almost everything we need to. There's one more thing I think we should talk about.
Is that your cross promotions thing?
Yes. In cross promotion with Pixel Nation, which is dead, long live Pixel Nation, CMLL had a cross promotion with Pokemon.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. Absolute insanity. Where some of the wrestlers actually dressed up like the Pokemon. Hechicero dressed up like Machamp. And, Hechicero dressed up like
Machamp. I was about to say Machamp's a wrestler, and you've got I guess Greninja could be considered a luchador.
Hawlucha was the main, because Hawlucha, if you didn't know, is getting its own Mega Evolution in the upcoming Pokemon Legends ZA, which is due out here in the US in about 2.5 or just under 3 weeks time from now, October 17th.
Yeah, but about the same time here in Australia.
Yes, it's worldwide at the same time. There were also multiple other wrestlers who dressed up like Pokemon. And even the crowd got into it, because I've seen actually a mask, borderline gimp mask, worn by a woman who was dressing up like Umbreon. Yeah, put that in your memory banks, kids. But yes, also, there were a few other wrestlers. Some of the women were, or at least one of the women's matches was Togepi and Sylveon. And then Arcanine also made an appearance as well. And the ring they wrestled in was patterned after a traditional Pokemon battle arena. So, yeah, that stuff is wild.
Considering, like, the mashups we've seen from wrestling in the past, like, I think even on Call of Duty, Alexa Bliss and Undertaker just got released as skins on there as well, so...
yep, that doesn't surprise me too much. I think that's just about everything we needed to talk about this week. Shane, do you have anything to promote? Because I've got everything else pretty much.
Yeah, no, my usual thing, just my one thing I promote every time. If you guys want to hear more wrestling opinions, then you can tune in to me on TikTok at Aussie Asshole. If not, I'm always right here with the NAWC.
All right. So for me and my normal shout-outs, this week on It Was a Thing on TV, two new episodes. The first, It's Your Move, Revisited, a 1984-85 show about essentially a game of one-upsmanship between the son, and his mother's, boyfriend. Yeah, it was a decent show, it's just it didn't find the right audience and they put it against the wrong people. Then the second episode, Work It, a 2012/13. That one's a little weird because New Zealand aired all 13 episodes. Show about cross-dressing, trying to find a job. Yeah, there's a few reasons why it lasted exactly two episodes in the United States. One, terrible premise. And two, they put it against NCIS, aka the number one scripted show on television. No wonder it got canceled in a heartbeat. Coming up next week is the start of a block concerning the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live. First episode up will be a terrible season of Saturday Night Live, but one that actually built towards a more golden age. I would assume they're talking about season 11 of Saturday Night Live, where it felt still like a bit of stunt casting, but they had a few players that wound up showing up into season 12, which was the start of the golden era. The golden era of Saturday Night Live, that 1987 to 1994 block, where you had pretty much everything mostly coming up roses for them. So yeah, you'll find out all about that and, more Saturday Night Live episodes coming up on itwasathenontv.com. This week on the BS Big Show, they talked about week 3 of the NFL season, and we're getting into week 4. So far, I'm doing all right. I'm 2-1 in my fantasy. Got the most points scored of anybody. Only reason I lost is because VRM beat me, and I honestly hope he comes back soon, because I hate having to be so depended on, but that's me. Coming up this week on WLTI is going to be all the goings-on in the world of game shows, as per usual. Jason will hopefully be back next week to cover that stuff. And of course, artist shout-outs, of course, our dear personal friend here, Jamie Cloutier, who's buried under work. I don't know if she'll ever get out of it at this juncture. Noberto Gaitan, of course, Dexter Loomis, if you want to go and see his stuff on WWEshop.com. 6 new shirts for the Wyatt 6, all drawn by him. But of course, if you're wanting, and of course, there are others that I don't know that Nikki would want to cover. But if you want to, go and support an artist, support the artist. Make sure that you don't go for AI. AI is a scourge upon the universe, in my honest opinion. So yes, but everything else, we're here. So, Shane, thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, good.
Yep. Brian, Carl, everybody else, Jason, Nikki, hope to see you back here next week. I am Stat Boy Josh Henniger. You have been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. do turn in next or tune in next time, where we're going to be covering more and more about the world of professional wrestling.